The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Question, episode 540. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, party people?
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Monjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, we're back with another one. No Chris action. He's, you know, he's exhausted. He has like a trip to go to some work trip. But he said he'll be back on Thursday for some pre-July 4th shenanigans. So look forward to that. And Adam is probably doing TV Terminal because every day is TV Terminal night for Adam now. You know, it's crazy. Again, we, you know, one of the running jokes we have on Throwdown, and I think we may have done it on the air too. It's always like Adam went from being like, I can't do any podcasts, doing all the podcasts, you know, how quickly things turn, you know, but hopefully he's having fun. And he's doing, you know, very successful podcasts. So, you know, shout out to him. Anyway, let's get into it, man. We got this podcast to do. Throw down your questions. And you guys definitely threw us some questions this week. Special thanks to Jay Shep, too. He threw a lot of them, you know. So a lot of sponsored ones tonight.
The opposite of last week.
Last week, listen, I got to give us credit. We took that one question. We drang that motherfucker out for 50 minutes before we got to like one we just made up on the spot. I would call it a B-side question, you know? Like, I would always put that on the back end of the show. Like, what's Ken Levine's game up to? Normally, it would have been like, man, we don't know, but we just stretch it out. That's what's called professionalism, you know? Anyway, let's get into it, man. Jay Shep starts us off. And this is the first of three Death Stranding questions we got tonight. So I'm putting them all together. First one, will Death Stranding sell more than 3 million copies on PS5 in 2025? Difficult to say.
Difficult one to say.
I feel like 3 million is a pretty low bar.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, though. Manny and I talked about this before the last show. I was surprised by this because remember when Death Stranding first came out, it didn't do that well, right? But apparently over the past 5 years, it has sold 20 million copies. So on average, obviously some years are going to be better than others, but on average, you could say it sold 4 million a year. That's pretty, like a lot of games don't get that. That's pretty good. So there is an interested fan base. So I'm not going to say will sell 3 million copies this year, but it can.
I mean, does it have to be
this year?
That's what the question is for 2025.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Go ahead, Manny.
It depends. It all depends on how, you know, what is. I mean, to be honest, I would say it would just be whatever the original Death Stranding did. And then, you know, he did like he did last time. He just slowly but surely does updates and puts it on another console or another platform or something like that, kind of like the original. He does currently own the rights to all of Death Stranding currently. Whatever the fuck he wants is after his initial publishing deal with PlayStation.
Oh, this is cool. Jay Shep says, the FOMO got to me and I got the original Death Stranding during the Steam sale. Good stuff, man.
Fuck yeah.
There you go.
Bro, Steam sale. Some killer fuck deals on there. Holy shit.
Yeah, right now it's pretty doing pretty good. It got a lot of things on there.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Brett?
We should throw out some recommendations for the Steam sale before the end of the show.
That sounds like a question.
What I was going to say was, because he said on the PS5, so I'm just going to do some real generous off the top of my head math here. So some generous guesstimations. So still 20 million. Let's say half of that was on the PS5. The other half of that was on PC. Honestly, I guess the PS5 numbers or PlayStation numbers were higher than PC, but I could be wrong. So let's say
half.
That's
a good question.
And And generally, you can say about 50% of a, you know, it. A lot of times, on the lower end, you can expect 50% of the original fan base to go to each subsequent game. So you get diminishing returns from audiences sometimes. Sometimes it can kick up and you can get better ones, but like let's you know guess conservatively here.
Yeah.
That's still 5 million copies. So that being said, I'd say 3 million easy mark.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable one. 3 million. I think it could hit that. And remember this game, unlike the first one, it's still got good word of mouth, but not a lot. This one isn't as polarizing. So the buzz may actually help it. Okay, here's the thing. Like, I think it'll sell faster than the first one. I don't know if it's going to sell 20 million overall, but by that point, yeah, I think it could sell 3 million. I'm not going to say it is because, you know, I don't want to be wrong about that. But I honestly don't know. But I think 3 million is I think that's a good safe number, you know.
Tony, I got a question. Uh-oh. Would this be a reasonable explanation to why it doesn't have as much criticism? So here's the thing. A lot of people were upset about Death Stranding 1 and a lot of people praised it. But what if with Death Stranding 2, the people who were knocking on it just didn't care or didn't bother with this game, with the sequel?
I'm talking about with critics, you know, because they have to play regard no matter what, you know. I don't really know what the public perception of the game is right now. I can only judge it on the critics. So it's the same people more or less reviewing it, you know. And they were more a lot of the reviews I saw were people that played the first one. Then they review this one like, hey, this one's better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So but I know what you're saying, but I haven't heard what the people think so far, you know, the people.
I feel like I think it could easily do 3 million. Also, one thing to take into note with the previous game, it released on the PS4. So,
yeah,
it also when the PS4 was probably at the height of its powers. So this one, you know, it's releasing on the PS5 when it's doing decent, but there's no games around. So maybe it's like, what else are people going to buy?
Arguably, Carlos, this probably is the peak of the PS5's powers right now, you know, because I think it's kind of similar, right, with the PS4, same kind of time era almost. But I see what you're saying. But by the way, stupid question. Is this game on Xbox? Didn't it come out on Xbox recently?
No.
Only on PlayStation. So
it's on PlayStation.
Okay, yeah. So it came out on PS4, slash PS4 Pro, obviously. Then PS5 and PC, right? Like the original one, they're muted.
The original one was PC, then PS5.
Okay, yeah. But regardless, those three platforms, PlayStation 4, PS5,
yes,
and Steam. Right now,
and then,
yeah, this
and
one then, is just PS5.
And then also, you know, after the PC one, it actually was released on PC Game Pass.
Yeah, but that's still PC, so we're going to count that.
It's still PC, but yeah.
Yeah. Another stupid question. Another stupid question. Is this available on Mac?
Yes.
Okay, four platforms then.
Yeah, but that was the late one. That was like around when they put it on iOS and all.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's on Mac. But it's like real, like I think it was even done just like last year.
Yeah. So, no real impact, you know, from that 20 million.
No impact. At this point, any more platforms that Death Stranding would be put on, anybody who's ever going to play it has already played it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to kind of agree with Brett's breakdown of PlayStation and PC, you know. But yeah, 3 million, I think is good enough, or reasonable, I should say. All right.
Mind you, Death Stranding 2 is also not on PC currently.
Not yet. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably going to be out maybe next year or, you know, maybe the year after that.
Didn't the first. Go ahead. No, I got to look. Go ahead, Brett, because I got to look this up because I could have sworn Death Stranding came to PC before a year, but I could be wrong. Let me look that up. Go ahead.
It was about a year later. I think during 2020. It popped out on D, I think.
Because
remember, it came in 2019. 2020, 2021, I think.
Everybody.
I mean, all you need to do is just
stop cutting Brett off, dude. Let him talk.
Oh, sorry.
If this came out on PC Game Pass, that's a bunch of unaccounted for players that might be people who are buying the sequel, too. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Hey, there's Adam. Okay, so I was right. The game did not take a year to come out for PC. It came out 6 months later. That is 6 months, right? November to July. That's 7 months. Math, not good. But yeah, anyway, good stuff. Speaking about, we're talking a very appropriate shirt, Adam, since we're talking about a Hideo Kojima game. Perfect. You know, got Michael Biehn on that shirt.
Damn right. I hope he got paid for that. I really
do. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. That, no,
oh, he didn't, man, even know. I'd be so pissed if I saw my face on. No,
that's literally from Terminator, man.
Yeah, there's a shot, like a set photo or whatever, that's exactly that same thing. All they did was they just changed a couple of things around. But yeah, that's that same shot from Terminator.
It's hilarious. It's like, man, you did Contra do that too with its cover?
Yeah, Contra is, it's actually not, it is Arnold, but it's not, though people think the other one is Sylvester Stallone. It's actually not Sylvester Stallone. It's actually Billy.
Yeah, it is Predator. Billy. That's right. Billy. So, yeah.
It's Billy from Predator. Because if you remember how Billy looked, he had the long hair and all that. It just removed his headband. But yeah.
That's funny. All right. Next question for Black Viet. Do you need to play and finish the first Death Stranding before playing the sequel? No, but it would help. Like, this game does a pretty good job of easing you into it. And I'm going to say this, though. Although this is not on the same level as PC Gamer, I believe it was, not knowing that the game didn't have performance mode, I didn't realize this game had a synopsis in it, you know? So I kind of have to take back a compliment I initially had, because I was like, damn, this game does a good job of just, you know, letting you know what happened in the previous game through dialogue. You don't have to read all this shit. But if you want to do that, you can do that. But I would still say, again, you don't need to play the first one. You could jump into this one, but I think, you know, playing the first one would, like, give you more of an appreciation at least, but you don't need to, you know? What's up, Brett?
Oh, especially, I just want to throw in there, since Jake Shep pointed out, it is $16 on Steam
right now. Damn, that's nice.
So you can play a nice game for that price.
Yeah, for that price, I would probably say it's worth playing the first one.
Oh, yeah, Brett, you're right. I've been changing my answer now. Play it. It's $15. I mean,
yeah, play that one first before getting the new
fever. But here's the thing, and you know, this is coming well with somebody who is currently playing Death Stranding 1.
Uh-oh.
And he's running into the difficult hurdles of the things that a lot of people had complaints about the original.
Talking about Carlos, by the way.
Yes, Carlos is currently playing Death Stranding 1. I think he said last time it was 11 hours in.
After today is around 11.
Oh, okay, yeah. But you're like, but the thing is that, like, that's the one thing I would say might be a little bit difficult, because that first one is just, especially judging by the stuff that I've seen for the new game and, you know, just the reception of it. A lot of people just saying that definitely a lot more respectful.
One thing I've heard, Manny, which is pretty interesting. Yeah. I don't know if you heard this phrase. They said that this game makes the first game feel like a proof of concept.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. Hey, in other words, great, all the though.
That
all
is the, all that's the, a compliment.
All the things that people had issues with, they literally looks like he addressed it. So, I mean, on one end, I would say, it, you know, obviously you would appreciate a lot of the nuance of a lot of it if you did play the. But I could say that, you know, because of just the way the synapses of this game. And, you know, a lot of the way they really distilled a lot of the stuff that you have to kind of work for in the previous title. I think you can kind of get away with playing this game without actually playing the first one.
Like I said yesterday, you don't even need to read the synopsis in the game. Like, they do a good job in just game dialogue itself. You know, just a normal cutscene. They do a good job of just giving you the basics of what happened before and the world. Yeah,
The first cinematic before the first cinematic starts, it has that thing that pretty much gets you up to snuff.
Yeah. What were you gonna say, okay, Carlos? So
let me
oh, go ahead, Brett, and then Carlos.
Let me ask you this: if, like, let's say I were gonna play Death Stranding 2, and I was dead set, I was like, nah, I'm not gonna spend the $15 on Death Stranding 1. I don't got the time. I just want to jump in. Would this be one of those I should watch a YouTube video to catch up on, or I should just dive straight in? Because it sounds almost like I would need. I don't even watch a fucking YouTube video that they're really accommodating first time players here.
Yeah, you really don't even need to watch a YouTube video. They do a really good job. And again, that's I'm saying this. You don't even need to read the synopsis if you don't want. The game itself does a good job of just getting you up to speed. Because here's the thing about Death Stranding: even though the story is told in a crazy way, at its core, it's simple. You know. So and they do a good job of that, at least. Yeah, great observation there, Brett. But yeah, Carlos, we're gonna say,
yeah, if you're gonna get into the first game, just get ready to spend a lot of time doing nothing except moving forward and holding the triggers.
CD
Keys has the director's cut.
There you go.
Yesterday, I played around maybe 2 to 3 hours, and the most I got was walking, putting a ladder over a river and talking to terminals, and that's it.
That's the Death Stranding experience.
And then you rage quit.
And then I saw a motorcycle, and I'm like, how the hell do I get this motorcycle to run?
Oh yeah, see, I told you about that.
So yeah,
I don't even think he can get on it.
Not yet. Like he has to play a little bit more. Yeah.
You can see it,
but he won't be standing right next to it.
It's damaged. It's like badly damaged.
Yeah.
It's teasing you. Like you're gonna get this eventually.
You're gonna get this.
And day's gone.
I'm not gonna. Day's gone. Well, that's how this game feels. It's like a lot of days gone. Someone mentioned the point. It's like it really is like it tests your patience. At least for me, because I really like the story and I want to progress the story. But everything in between is really much a dud. Like the combat is not great. The traversal is fine. I like the way like you can climb, you can rope, grapple, and all that stuff. That stuff's pretty neat. You can climb pretty much everything, the looks of it. But when you're carrying stuff, it's like, man, you'll spend half an hour just walking from one place to another, just struggling to, you know, hold yourself. And you're like, damn, I see like all this missing packages and stuff. You're like, yeah, I'm not going to carry that because it's going to take me like, it's going to add like 20 minutes to my direction over here. So to be honest, I'm not a fan of this game. I'm a fan of the story, and that's pretty much what's keeping me to like playing it.
That sounds like me with that sounds like me with the first Mass Effect. I hated the gameplay, but that story kept me going and the graphics kept me going, you know? By the way,
the graphics are great too.
Yeah, it's funny because this game, when they do flashbacks, they just show you the original game. Like, damn, this shit still looks good, you know? By the way, J-Shep says, damn, Carlos, do I need to get a refund? No, just be prepared for tedium. The game does not hold your hand, bro.
Yeah. It doesn't hold your hand, but the thing about it is, and I think that's the greater like narrative through gameplay, you're going to struggle in the beginning, but once you get further on, continue to build the chiral network and all that stuff, you build those connections with all the different people in the area, you get better things. So it's like there's an advantage to essentially, you know, taking the time and, working with every single one of these preppers to bring this to bring the chiral network up. So there is genuinely, again, it does seem tedious, but as you further get on, more connection stuff you get with all those guys, the better stuff you earn. So like even just like getting those characters, those side characters all the way up to their maximum, you know, by delivering them their different packages, you get extra stuff from them that'll help you out.
Yeah. Carlos, that's a question I have for you, actually. Are you seeing other people's structures in your game?
Define structures, please.
Okay, basically, when you see like a bridge or something, or a ladder, and it has like you know Jeff Keighley 5672, you know, do you see shit like that? You know, or that you can hit like on it. Do you see stuff like that? Okay, because I was wondering, like, is there enough of a population to have that in the original game anymore? Because like that's one of the key things to that game. It's like the more you progress, the easier it becomes because other people start building shit around you, and obviously you build stuff, and it makes whoever you know it helps other people out. You know,
So it's like,
what's up?
Yeah.
So if Brett just jumps in He jumps in. He's been out for years. Is he going to see all? Is that all just going to be filled out? Like, oh,
yeah.
You have to do a as whole long trip, but now there's a ladder there. Just climb.
As you connect the chiral networks, all the different places, you start seeing people's things that people have done inside of your environment. So you'll see situations. We'll see, like, there's a ladder that goes over a mountain. You'll actually see trails. So, like, as the connection, you know, you activate it more, you start seeing trails that people have traveled. So you'll see, like, in other words, like, Carlos was having an issue with the, you know, obviously where you have to hold, he has to hold his backpack all the time. And that's usually because there's a bunch of bumpy stuff on the floor. You can use that little radar thing to like see what will make you fall over. They show up as red.
Yeah.
But then you'll start seeing trails and roads and things that are made by other people that they've traveled multiple times, and they become easier to walk through. As you open up more ability, like more things to construct, like you can make bridges, you can make these like reconnaissance towers and all kinds of other things. As you gain those things, you start seeing those in your environment from other people.
Can you, like you just said, with the bumpy road?
The packages, they're like, a lot of times you'll see abandoned packages all over the place. Those are other players' packages that you that they've may have dropped or lost in some way. And if you pick them up and you bring them to one of the delivery locations, you get some additional points and stuff for doing something. So you even
can you help just out open the other them then? Too. Can you just open them? It's like, hey, I found it.
No, it's just, he just delivers them. You know,
you don't open packages in this game.
You don't open packages, but you actually do. But you actually do know what's inside of them.
Yeah, you do. So yeah.
There's one guy later on in the game that's like, he's actually a Japanese game journalist, right? They don't say what it is he is, but he works for Famitsu Magazine. Anyway, he's in the game, and all the things that you deliver to him are game console. So you see at one point, you look at the contents of the package, you know, in the menu, and you see, wait, that's a fucking PlayStation.
Yeah, games. I remember that guy.
You'll see all kinds of fun stuff. Like, if you'll see the magazine in there that he had written, all kinds of funky stuff. So
yeah, Manny, thank you, Jason. Spoilers. Chill out with the spoilers. I know the game's, okay, I know the game's 6 years old, but yeah.
Those aren't exactly spoilers.
They are, but yeah.
A spoiler is if I told you the actual plot of this, but no.
Yeah, that is true.
These are just people that you find inside of.
Damn, he turned the volume down. Okay, let's chill out. You know, we don't want to enforce our version of what a spoiler is on other people. You know.
Can you break something? Like, could something be fragile?
Yeah.
Like, oh, mission.
Oh,
failed.
Yeah. All the items, the packages have what they call void tape, with a little marker on the actual object that the more damage it takes, the more you can see how damaged it is. And that also lowers the points that you get whenever you deliver a package. So if you deliver a package and it doesn't, and it looks all damaged and stuff, you won't get as much points as if you didn't hit anything.
But, yeah, say for example, if you trip and you fall, the package drops, that damages it, mm-hmm. you know. But
yeah, it damages
you, but,
it.
Yeah, but you could get this like repair spray and shit. You put it on, and you're good, you know.
Yeah, you can repair the casing. You can repair the casing if you get that. You unlocked it. But yeah, it's they give you, you know, things you can let you know.
Yeah. I'll say this about the second game. The running theme I've had with it, every time I'm like, oh, this is a little clunky, I wish it was easier, I'll literally like 5 minutes later get an upgrade. I make this shit easier. So I'm like, okay, like you could tell they thought about it. You know, every single time I'm like, man, like, oh, this is a pain in the butt. Like, I wish I could, that, why doesn't it do that? Like, oh, wait, now it does that. You know, it's kind of cool. Like, I'm not going to say, because obviously spoilers, but there's one thing I was talking to Manny about before. I'm like, I wonder if they could fix that. If they fix that, that'll be big, you know, but we'll see. Anyway, so yeah, you don't, the question again, you don't need to play the first one.
I don't think you.
Yeah. All right. Second question for Mr. Black Viet, also about Death Stranding. This one's kind of funny. with all the high praise Death Stranding 2 is receiving, is it safe to say that Jeff Keighley will dedicate a third of the Game Awards to the December to Kojima and the game? Also, will Jeff Keighley come up with a new award category for Death Stranding 2 to win?
Best Hideo Kojima game.
I will say this. He will win something at the
Game Awards.
whether it may not be game of the year, he may win the director of the year or something like that. He will win something. That's a definite.
Yeah.
Will he devote a bunch of time to Kojima like he did where he just showed up and came out of a door and talked for like for 15 minutes about a game about OD? I don't think he's going to do that.
Ditto 2002. If you have a gaming question, feel free to ask. You know, unless you're a troll, you know, that last part, my goodness, is this a troll or not? But we'll see. But it's a gaming question. We will answer it. But yes. Yeah, we'll see. It's going to win something. I agree. The game's going to win something. Yeah, I
definitely think it'll win
something. You know, best. Nepotism
is a hell of a thing.
Yeah. Best Troy Baker cameo. I don't know. Some bullshit. You know, it'll win.
Well, that's
not
a Kojima thing.
No, but it's for Death Stranding too. You know, like remember the other part of the question was, will they make up a category for this game to win? All right, let's move on. Jay Shep, another question. Do you think Xbox will advertise PlayStation PC games being playable on the Asus Xbox handheld? I don't think they're going to do it, but you may see the PlayStation logo. You know, you'll do that, but they're not going
to. They need to have a.
Go ahead.
Bro, they need to have a playable. Like, they're working against Steam Deck. Steam Deck labels that shit whether or not, it labels whether or not that shit works. Like, you need that. That standard has been set. So they're going to at least need to, Xbox handheld certified.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's a great question. Like, are games that are Steam Deck certified? No, it wouldn't because it's an Xbox and this Windows 11 version. We may have to look after that.
It'll be whatever the approval system that ROG has. Don't they have their own and that launcher, doesn't it have some kind of way of verifying, hey, this will work on this
device? No, it's just it's a Windows game. Have fun. That's all it says. You know,
that's gonna be a hard one.
Microsoft is gonna have to certify the games that run well.
Yeah, ditto. That's not a gaming question, bro. Windows 11 handhelds, at least once I review, have anything like that. Like, this game's verified for this system. That's not a thing. So maybe Xbox will do it because they claim to have some kind of different, optimized version of Windows 11. I don't know.
I mean, really? Okay, so here's what I think the difference is going to be. Like, if they're trying to build a platform, they need to go all in on that shit and certify games, right? If they're just throwing an Xbox button on an ROG Ally, then they ain't got to do shit. And whether or not they certify games, to me, is going to be the kind of canary in the coal mine as to whether they're trying to build and expand their platform in the handheld space or whether they're just trying to piggyback off of ROG. So it's going to be the difference between just going all in and investing in the future or a toe dip. Thing is, Microsoft, they go in sometimes more than they should. They're the opposite of Sony. They don't do the toe dip. They do the plunge, even sometimes when it's a bad idea. We're going to put a camera in the living room looking at you the entire time. Everybody's going to love it. No, we insist. You can't buy the console without it. Like, that was fucking stupid. Right? Like, but they do go all in. So, I can see them saying, hey, if you buy it off the Xbox button, the storefront, it's going to run on this thing.
Yeah, pretty much. But again, I don't think Xbox will go, here is a PlayStation game you can play on. They're going to do that. But you will see a PlayStation logo on some stuff, you know?
Well, I mean, it'll probably be just the way, you know, because it's supposed to be running Steam on there, right?
You can run the Steam store on there.
Yeah, if you can run the Steam game on there, then yeah, that should be on there.
They don't need to do it because people will do it for them. YouTube is going to blow up doing it. Oh, yeah. I'm on an Xbox. Look what I can do.
Well, I mean, Spider-Man. it's a weird thing because it's like it's playing PC games, so it's like those things are already on there. So is it a big deal?
I mean, they already highlighted access to multiple storefronts as one of the key features of this device. I mean,
but it's not attached. It doesn't obviously attach to the PlayStation, but it does to Steam. So theoretically, these games run on there.
Yeah, it's coded language. So I don't know that they'll straight up say you can play PlayStation games on here, but they'll say they will say, like, yeah, you have access to Steam and Xbox storefronts on a single device.
There you go. There you go. There you go. That's how they'll do it. They're not going to say it directly, but they'll do it like that. Exactly. So there you go. That'll be a fun one. Look out for the, you know, announcements. Look out for the PlayStation logo. But
bro,
yeah,
you know what?
What's up?
If I'm sorry, I just realized I had a moment. I was like, holy shit, if Microsoft managed to make some sort of deal with Steam to go in together on their next console, they could basically just cut into having Sony's games on their platform the same way. Like, they may just go the long route and just kind of, like, put Sony PC games on their next Xbox via Steam.
I mean, yeah. I mean, because remember, the next Xbox is supposed to have Steam integration, so, yeah, you can do that. Or you should be able to, I should say.
So, like,
unless Sony gets bitter and pulls that shit.
Yeah.
Like, Jay Shep, why? Okay. Kind of forced. Okay, Brett, I'm sorry, but because I want you to look at Ashley, because this is something Jay Shep's been talking about in the chat for a while. He says this sounds like a lawsuit. No, remember, Steam is if it's on a PC, it's good. There's no lawsuit there. You know?
Yeah, dude. It's not wrong. What it sounds like, bro, is a loophole. It's not a lawsuit. It's a loophole.
Is it a loophole, though?
I mean, it kind of is.
I will agree with that, because it's kind of like there's no way Sony would have known that Steam and Valve would have partnered with Microsoft, especially with
the
history that they have. I mean, there's a lot of hate.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, used to
be back in the day. So I don't think at any point he said, well, I'm sure Microsoft made, because remember, even Microsoft made their own store to compete against and pulled all their games.
Yeah.
It was a whole big thing for many years. And
I remember that, yeah. I never
saw this playing nice and like, yeah, we're going to put all this stuff. Hey, we're going to even put your ecosystem in our ecosystem. I would have lost money if I would. But here we are.
Bro, it's what I was like. You got your chocolate in my peanut butter. You got my peanut butter in your chocolate. Oh, like, that's the shit that would be the thing that Sony would actually need to wake up and worry about right there. Because, like, the power of those two things going together, like, even, like, Steam isn't super interested in making a console, right? Like, they've made that very clear that they've not really wanted to make a Steam box. And everybody's like, oh, well, they need the Steam Deck. Maybe they'll make a Steam box. Maybe let Microsoft make the Steam box for them, and then everybody wins except Sony. And then, like, Sony has the choice to what, pull your games off the PC, go full exclusive again, or do you open up and we see the end of exclusivity? Like, we're reaching that kind of critical mass point where what's it going to be? Are we going to go? It's good because it's going to be one or the other, and we genuinely might be seeing the end of exclusivity through that route. And I know there's a lot of what ifs between here and there, but like the ROG Xbox Ally, like, that's a crack in the dam. You can't put that genie back in the bottle, right? As soon as people are like, oh, you can have multiple storefronts, and we're already talking with Steam about putting Steam on our next Xbox, like, bro, it's over. That shit's over. Yeah. So now that would be really interesting to see what Sony's reaction is, because the ball's in their court.
So, Brett, this is what Jay Shep says. Yeah, Brett, this is to what you said. Brett said Valve would partner with Microsoft. I don't think Sony would be okay with that. So what do you say?
Sony doesn't get an opportunity to be okay with that. Like, they're not acquiring them. It's not a partnership.
It's not a partnership. It's just like, Xbox is just allowing Steam on Xbox. That's it. It's not a partnership.
It's already there. Windows. They're not doing anything different. Just that's it. It's the same shit. If it's still running Windows, they're gonna be like, what's different than you?
Yeah, there is no partnership. You're 100% right. Yeah,
there is no partnership. No, yeah, this is it. It's just
you can play Spider-Man right now on the ROG Ally. Yeah. You know,
yeah, you can play right now. That's it. The only thing is it's got the X branding on.
Yeah, no, Brett did. Brett did say partnership, but we don't think partnership is the right word.
Partnership is probably a bad word. That's my bad. Well, I mean, partnership in a deal, but like not an acquisition or not like a merger.
No,
I think people are thinking merger.
The only thing that can happen here is if Valve says nope, you're not putting Steam there, then that could happen. Same thing for
that Epic. Could happen. Epic, yeah,
nope, we don't know. We don't want our. They've done it before. They pulled Nvidia sheet.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, it's not a partnership. It's just Xbox would allow it. But Adam, like you said, it's up to Steam to say, okay, cool. You know, they could say no.
And they don't care.
Yeah.
They're all about money. They're like, we.
That money.
Go ahead. Put it on there. We're just an outreach. Yeah. This is whole thing with how every friends. And yeah. It's like, and they're still keeping everything closed in. A lot of pressure. It's like, what is your ego? Toy where I need proprietary cartridges that shove it. We'll have to see how they, because they're going to have to.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Adam, can you do me a favor and check your mic settings? You're coming like in and out, some weird stuff going on. But anyway, while we do that, go ahead, Brett. Any last thoughts before we get to the next question?
I mean, there was one I wanted to add on to this. It's gone. Let's move forward.
All right, fair enough. All right, Alpha.
And it's gone.
Yeah, and it's gone. Maybe it was just the distance, Adam, because you know you don't have it too close.
You hear me?
We heard you finally just kept going in and out, in and out, in and out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could be. It could have been. It could have been. What about now? Does it sound any different?
Yeah, you might better. In and out. You gotta lean forward.
Yeah, that's what it is. It sounded like you were talking, and then it went away. Then it got close, and then it went away. You know what I'm saying? It sounded like that.
Yeah.
All right. Got a pair of questions here from Mr. Alpha Chuck. You guys discussed the new ability in the Xbox PC app to have access to your Steam library. I don't think this is a big deal on PC. However, if this is Microsoft testing the waters for a potential feature on their next-gen consoles, is that something you would be excited for? Would it be enough to make you consider getting whatever the next Xbox is?
One thing before we answer that, one thing to understand with the way that works is that all that, you know, those games showing up in your applet, in the Xbox app, all it is doing is sensing that you have these games installed, and it's putting essentially an icon on it. So you still have to have Steam. You still have to have Steam or whatever the other stores all in your system current at the time in order to do the handshake. So it's not running it from the Xbox app at all. All it is doing is just giving you a shortcut to all the games that you have installed on your PC.
I think that's scarier because I see that as like, okay, so like if this is going to work, if Microsoft really wants to put Steam on their new OS, they're going to have to make friends with Steam, right? And what that probably is going to mean is more profit sharing. You know, Steam makes 30% off of their PC. Even if Xbox is like, yo, we're going to, cut that 50-50, or, you know, you get 20%, we get 10% off of every Steam sale. Yeah, it's reduced share, but it's a bigger user base, and it's somebody that's going to take on the actual manufacturing aspect. And that's one thing Microsoft is pretty good at, is the physical manufacturing. Steam is fucking excellent at it. But I don't know that they want to go through all that to make a Steam Deck. So they pass that off. And one thing that could be really interesting is by doing it the way that you're talking about, Manny, they're keeping track of who they actually bought the game from, which kind of keeps a partition where...
Well, I mean, at least the way it works now is it just, you know, Windows, it, you know, this is this the Xbox app on your current PC. All it does is it keeps track of what things that you have installed. Every single one of those games have to have an installation. So Windows already knows that those things are installed into it. So it's just like, okay, yeah, I know that these are games. The other way, which would be insane, is that okay for their next Xbox, their actual Xbox handheld? You don't need to have Steam, Epic Games Store, or let's say the Ubisoft one installed in your console inside of your handheld. That Xbox is perfectly fine with doing the handshake to either one of those platforms, so you don't need to constantly have them all running at the same time in order to do the stupid DRM handshake that they all need to do on Steam.
That would be nice. I don't know how you divvy the sales up though. Like, they're gonna want to keep their storefront separate.
You would probably have to be that there's an Xbox within the store, the Xbox store, which is on that, you know, on that that you know, their handheld would have to have like a Steam section, kind of like the way they do the weird separation now with at least Xbox has the thing where if you go into the Ubisoft section, which is included into there, it is somewhat like cordoned off on the side.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, all of this is, yeah, not a big deal right now, but it does portend a possible future where their next console could have it. And if, honestly, if so, like, yeah, I'd fucking love that shit. I want Steam sales on my Xbox. Fuck yes, I do.
So yeah, I mentioned this.
But what about repeat games? You know, that'd be a weird one, right? Like, you have one that's on your Xbox store and then one that's on Steam. So where do you, which one, do you have to choose which one?
Well, I mean, honestly, it'd be great if, like, on day one, my Xbox, my new Xbox could, like, just download anything that's already in my Steam library. Like, dude, you come home, yeah, already have, like, an install, you know, you already have a whole library, you know, it's that... That shit's crazy. That doesn't happen with consoles, and all of it is already owned by you. So it's not like you have to pay anything more. So yeah, you'll probably still go home and buy a couple new games, but you got, you know, 30 games in your backlog that you never got to, and now you can play them on the Xbox in the living room like that. That would be pretty dope. I'd be down for that.
Go ahead, Carlos. You were gonna say something.
The whole thing with the announcement they made a couple of weeks ago with AMD, I made the prediction where I said, I think this next console is going to be pretty much a PC. Like, it's not even going to be like a PC like these consoles are. It's going to be just a straight up PC. And I feel like this console, the new Xbox, is essentially going to be an Xbox and a Steam PC all in one, along with other console, other type of lines as well. But yeah, I'm not surprised. So I don't know what the cut is to get Steam on there, or how much they should make off each sale, but I'm pretty sure they can work it out, because Steam, they don't really care how they get to places. They just want to be everywhere. That's their whole.
Yeah. By the way, Jay Sheps asked, do you think the platform owner would be okay with the gamer bypassing their platform? I don't think so.
It would need some sort of wheeling and dealing between them and Microsoft. It's as Adam said, you know, some people just be like, nah, it ain't happening. So again, it just means like, even if it's a situation, it could just be a situation where that all those other platforms you need in order to play them on there, you need to have Steam, you need to have, you know, Epic Game Store, you need to have Ubisoft, whatever, in order to play them. And and just like on your PC, how they all run in the background in light mode. And then when you start them up, they always do that little thing. They always start themselves up as soon as you start up any one of their games, if you haven't played them in a while, and they do the little handshake and then like, okay, you can play it now. So it could just be that.
They're also going to require launchers just like on all the other devices, because we're playing the PC version, we're not playing the console version.
Okay. So here's the thing. You could have a launcher that's a library that is fully integrated, right? But then two storefronts that are separate. And if, you know, you're on your Steam Xbox and you buy something from Steam, instead of Steam's 30%, they get 20% and Microsoft gets a 10%. And Steam puts a subsection on there for their Xbox Live, or puts some Xbox games subsection on there, and you get the inverse on there. And so they buddy up, have two separate storefronts and one launcher that connects them. Boom, done, sold. I'm done. And honestly, straight up, I think that could be the thing that would compete against the next Sony console. And I think that's the only goddamn thing that's going to be able to compete against the next Sony console.
I think Microsoft's whole thing is pushing Game Pass. So I think they really want all of that other, oh, we'll give you percentages, and no. We don't want anybody buying any games.
Yeah. Well, they want Game Pass, but what if they put Game Pass on Steam?
That'll kill Steam's model. Their whole thing is they make money off of selling games.
But they could also make money off of renting games.
Oh yeah, the backlash on that one.
I'm saying, like, the customer base. I don't know about the developers. From last I heard, the developers still felt it was a good deal sometimes, but other times not. People who use Game Pass seem to love it. People who use Steam seem to love it. You know, you already fucking have both storefronts on your PC. Like, all we're talking about is having the next console be like your PC, but with a big screen launcher. Like, that's really the only difference we're talking about here. And for Steam to then suddenly be ubiquitously available in everybody's living room, not only is that going to increase the user base, but that'll increase the type and amounts of games that Steam users play, right? Like, if I want to play a game, you know, a couch co-op game, I'm not going to buy that shit on Steam. I'm going to buy it on Xbox because I want to play it on my fucking couch. But now, if they do that, maybe I'll buy it on my couch.
But Steam is free for multiple consoles. It's not. So that just changes everything right there. Like, well, I might as well get the PC. I have to pay the entry fee to just play multiplayer.
Oh, no. You'll still have a paywall between the internet on the new Xbox, even if it has Steam on it. That's where Microsoft's going to get their definite cut.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you were to add Game Pass onto Steam, people would be like, why should I pay for this if I have these games that I could already play online? Unless you already have Game Pass and you want that integration, but for new people, I don't.
Here's what I'm saying.
People on Steam saying, I'll jump on it.
Even if you download a Steam game on the new Xbox, you can't play multiplayer for free unless you have the Xbox subscription that lets you get fucking online, because we've all just accepted that we pay to be online for consoles, and that shit ain't going away whether or not you put Steam on a console. That's going to be there no matter what. And that's where Microsoft's making their money. Like, you could buy nothing but Steam games on the new Xbox console. They're still making their $10, $15, $25 a month off you. They don't give a shit. That's where they're making most of their money. That's where a majority of their profits come from.
Yeah. So Jacep says, I think if all that was a possibility, Microsoft would have done it. It would defeat the purpose to play my PC games on an Xbox that wants to charge for online.
I know it's stupid, but people will do it. You and I both know people will do it.
They already do it.
Fuck, I might do it. I'm that lazy. I might do it. I like laying in my living room. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So, Brett, you did answer the question. Because I was like, have we answered the question yet? So you did answer. So it would get you excited.
No, I'm an enthusiastic. Like, yeah. You make an Xbox Steam console combo, I'm 100% down. Not only am I down, I am confident that that would be a thing that could compete numbers-wise with the new PlayStation. And I'd eat my fucking hat. Yeah. On that one.
Yeah, what about the rest of you guys? But my answer is no, because I have a PC, so I'm good. I don't need an Xbox. That's why I didn't buy an Xbox Series X. I'm like, kind of don't need to. But the question did say, if you're a PC guy, this doesn't mean anything. But if you're a console person, it will mean something. So, Rich, I'm going to go to you. Would that get saving. You excited? It's you know? Saving. Yeah. So, Rich, would it get you excited? Because I know you mostly play on consoles. Oh, I think
that is a phenomenal question.
All right, never mind. Rich is out. Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, I want to throw in there. Does this include the ability to in-network stream from my PC? Because I can stream from my laptop to my Steam Deck and get double the performance. Because I got Google Fiber, my in-home network is like 600 gigabytes a second. It's fucking insane. So would I be able to, for instance, take the power of my PC and stream that through my Xbox console into my big screen TV in my living room? I'm assuming that's part of it, because that's part of Steam, right?
I don't know. The question didn't address that part, so I don't know.
Well, it's part of Steam, so I'm saying yes, it is.
Okay, fair enough.
Anything that can hold Steam, you can stream to. So that is also a big part of the reason that I said yes, and I want people to keep that in mind when answering this question.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else with the schedule excited for the next Xbox?
I think people will be excited for the pricing.
Huh?
Go ahead.
We had two answers at the same time.
It's just the pricing. If that's the case, if you're on there, or even if it's just to see your game, not so much. It's all right. You go on your phone, open up the Steam app, make the purchases for all those games that are dirt cheap compared to what you see on the Xbox store, and then it'll just pop up your console. You didn't need to buy a PC. So if you don't have a PC and you want that experience, because that's the main selling point. Never someone told me, like, look, now we got the Steam Summer Sale. The prices are far cheaper than what you're on an Xbox or a PlayStation. So that's great. You don't even need the store. You don't need to go and buy things on console. You could do everything else on your phone. I could see that being a selling
point. Yeah, I would venture to guess, and maybe we already know this, and I just haven't paid enough attention, but I would venture to guess that on that Xbox overlay that has Steam on it, you don't have access to the actual store, the Steam store, no. Just the library. That's probably one
like
of the
NVIDIA Shield. It's like the way that's the way I see it for how they do it on the other type of. It says, "Hey, it's Valve Steam here. It's log in. You log in, it just shows you. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't see your friends list. You don't see all the other stuff in the ecosystem store. Nope. It just shows what you have. You want to install it? Install. Goodbye.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be as interested in this. For the simple fact that I think this is just going to be a PC, like just a PC.
Yeah, and you already have one of those.
Yeah, so But I will say this. I feel like this is one of the selling points for this so-called console is going to be like, I already see like the marketing, like Microsoft's going to be like, get a PC spec machine at lower prices than what you would do as you would build a PC. Cause I feel like this console is going to be a really, budget friendly PC for folks. So like, it's going to be more attainable for more people. I feel like that's how the marketing's going to for that system.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else going to take that as a no? So move on. All right. Another one from Mr. Alphachuk. Did you see that the Nexus mod site has been sold? Do you fear the site will now become much more monetized? I just heard about this, but I didn't really delve more into it. But Brian, if you want to give us any insight into this, I'm assuming you know more about this than I do. Feel free to talk.
The only thing that I'm aware of is that it was sold off to a company that seems to be very hush-hush about what they do. However, they did say that how businesses run, they won't be changing it. So they still say that mod would be free and there'll be some subscription service that will continue to run. It's just that they'll be trying to remove the ads, but they didn't say how and what changes that would obviously. You remove the ads, then you need to get your money somewhere. So where that's coming from yet. It's kind of just wait and see what's going on, which is very bad, because then there's no transparency. Obviously, you take over and then you say, oh, we'll get some changes, removing ads, and then just leave it there. It's like, okay, so what are you replacing them? Or what are you changing to make room for them? So some people are very concerned about the lack of
transparency. Do you think there should be a way... Do you think all mods should be free? Or do you think that it should be a space for smaller creators to get their first footing?
I think the price of mods should be down to the creator. So if people want to make the mods free, they should. If they feel like they should be paid because of the effort they put in, then that should be on them as well. So that's where I stand with that. I just have an issue with Nexus mods because they require you sign into an account to download mods. Which anytime anything asks you to sign in, it's always a case of why. Like what benefit do you get from signing in?
Oh, like, so they can track you.
Exactly. So hence why I'm like, I don't like that. Like if I'm downloading a free mod, I should download and that's it.
Jay Shep says we need to consult Hip Hop Gamer for this question. Yeah, because he loves some mods, cheat mods specifically, you know? Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
No, I just say I don't think Twitch is going in.
Yeah. Sounds of it. So yeah, that's true. All right, man. Move on here. A couple of sponsored questions here. Romudeath, man, sponsoring some J-Shep questions. Thank you, Romudeath. You're a very generous person. All right, this one's funny. In the spirit of the upcoming Street Fighter movie, the panel's most anticipated movie of the decade, can you name a fighting game IP that never received a live-action adaptation but deserves one? And who would you want to direct it? I'm going to be an asshole, and I'm going to say this first. I'm pretty sure somebody else is going to say the same answer as me. Don't make any live action fighting games. Like they're all stupid.
Yes.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be
every
dumb.
Every single one. The best one out of them was Mortal Kombat.
The first
that's
one.
It.
Yeah.
Your first one. That's it.
Yeah. Like, cause think about all the ones we've had, right? The other two Mortal Kombats, Dead or Alive, Legend of Chun-Li, you know, Street Fighter. Did Tekken get a live action one or am I bugging?
Yes, it did.
It did. Yep. All trash. So I was thinking, for example, like Fatal Fury, that would be stupid. Live action would be stupid because fighting games, I love fighting games. They're too fucking goofy. They don't work in the context of like real life. That's been proven for like decades now. But if you want to make an animated movie or a CG one, I'm down with that because it'll work better, you know?
Here's the thing, fighting game, what's a Bruce Lee movie? That's a fighting game movie.
Yeah.
Like, and they even like Mortal Kombat essentially ripped, you know, it did. Essentially took that same idea from Enter the Dragon. Enter the Dragon. So that's literally all they need to do is just make Enter the Dragon, but with different like things.
Or what's that Bruce Lee movie where he goes up the stairs all the time and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar you fought? Game of Death? Was it Game of Death?
Was that Game of Death? I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Game of Death is also that same idea too, but like his, there was
like
a lot
Kung Fu the game.
Here's the thing, Jay Shep, he goes, which fighting game would you say is the most realistic? Bushido Blade, Mortal, you know, Mortal, like
Mortal
that.
Kombat.
Yeah, Mortal. Here's the
one.
The reason why Mortal Kombat worked, and I say that in air quotes, is because it already actually had a established story, right? Most fighting games, even Street Fighter, don't rely on story, man. Like, I guess, quote unquote, the most realistic. Here's the thing: the most quote unquote realistic one of the popular fighting games that are still around is Virtua Fighter. That has no fucking story. That has it no
does.
Story.
It
you
does.
Know?
Rudy, thank you. Thank you for the perfect segue. I've been waiting in the wings. It fucking does, oh. Tony, and it is the best answer.
Okay, what is it?
Shenmue.
Shenmue? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, which was essentially supposed to be the Virtua Fighter RPG. Yes, Shenmue.
Wait,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, Shenmue's based on the Virtua Fighter fighting system.
No. The reason I said was because of what Jeffrey said in the chat. He goes, there was a live-action King of Fighters. Oh, my God. And Terry Bogard was an FBI agent. See, this is why fighting game movies are bad, because they do shit like that, you know? So, no, I would not want them to... Don't make any live-action fighting games. Cancel them all. But, and Jeffrey, I'm glad you're in the chat. Jeffrey and I had a conversation the other day, right? And I'm like, and it's funny. So I'm going to bring it back a little bit. On Thursday, we were talking about how Jason Momoa is going to be Blanca, right? Which is insane. And then I started thinking like, oh, what if Blanca's CG? Makes sense, right? Jason Momoa is just the voice actor. So a day after that, Jeffrey, he didn't know I had this thought. He asked like, hey, stupid question. But what if this movie's actually CG and not live action? Then I'm like, you know, then this crazy casting starts making sense. And then I told this to the, you know, the in our little group. And Manny's like, okay, we know if this is a CG movie, if the director hasn't done any live action stuff. The guy that they got, it's some random dude that's done like one movie. So, and think about it. So in all the reports, they've never said this is a live action movie. They've never said that. They just said a Street Fighter movie. That's all they've said. This casting, like Andrew Schultz as Dan Hibiki, starts making a lot more sense if it's not live action at all. So throwing it out there, we could be wrong, but I'm not saying this is right. So I'm not right or wrong. Just throwing it out there as a possibility. Maybe this is a CG movie, just like the Resident Evil movies and shit. You know, it might be a straight to Netflix thing. We don't know, but the casting, if this is a CG movie, the casting makes much more sense because it's insane right now. You know, the people that they've gotten to play these characters. So we'll see. But yeah, that's my answer. Don't make any live action fighting game movies. That'll be stupid. But please do a Shenmue live action, but it's gotta be from the Japanese. No Western version, you know?
I mean, you could say Final Fight, but that's not like, that's a beat 'em up
game. Yeah, it's a fighting game, you know.
Necessarily a fighting game.
Yeah.
But, you know, that movie was already made. It's called Streets
of Fire. Yep, that already exists. So is anybody else here have a different opinion? Do you actually want a fighting game to be adapted to real life?
No.
I mean, the whole purpose of making fighting game movies is to generate money. And
they lose.
There's a reason why they fail is because they didn't have any stories. Like, if you had a story to at least pull from, then there might be a way to, you know, get a successful movie made. But I mean, like you mentioned, most of these don't even have a story.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat's the only one. Even those movies aren't good. The only good one is the first one. The two after that are shit, you know, and they actually have an actual legit story, you know? So if the one fighting game franchise with a story can't be done right, none of them have a chance, you know? They really made Terry. What's up, Brian?
Just go on what you mentioned.
Yeah.
Live action. Yeah, Tekken already had one, but also had an animated movie as well.
Yeah. See, that's cool.
Tekken Bloodlines.
Yeah.
It suffered from the same problems, though.
Story?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, you can have a story, but the problem is it just won't be a good one because you just have to go through, like, the story flow, and these games don't lend themselves well to that. I mean, like, okay, Tony, how do you compress... Like, okay, if you were to do a film based on Tekken, what storyline do you go to?
Yeah, do you just do the Mishima story? Do you just stick with that? But even that, you have to fill in a lot of shit that the game doesn't tell you, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can't really do the whole thing. So you end up just doing like, I don't know, like the like parts 1, 2, and 3 crammed together. But then everyone will be like, oh yeah, it's a bit shit because they didn't add this and didn't add that. So even with Street Fighter, it's like, okay, we want to do a Street Fighter film, animated, fine, CG or not, whatever, we can ignore that. But then what story do you go to?
Yeah.
Which characters do you involve? And then, of course, you need your stand-in for the audience member, you know? And then you need your comic relief guy, you know? And then you start having your Marvel jokes.
It's like, oh, God.
You know? So, yeah, it's just, I don't think it's a good idea to do that for fighting games. Other games, no. I can see it, but fighting, probably not.
No, fighting games are probably one of the worst to do that. Worse than, like, platformers. Even platformers have more of a fucking story than fighting games, you know? So,
I think, like, a beat-em-up might actually...
Yeah, beat-em-up, like Manny said, yeah.
Yeah, because at least then you can do something like, is it... What's that one... Is it like the tower or something? No, it's not the tower. Raid, that's it.
The Raid, yep.
Something like Raid, you know, that actually would work.
The Raid is a legit live-action beat-em-up game. So there you go, yeah. So, yeah, if the question was like, what beat-em-up franchise, that would actually work. Like Final Fight, Streets of Rage, you know, that'd be kind of cool. But fighting games, no, leave it alone. Leave it alone. All right, let's move on here. Another sponsored question. Is it up to Wolverine and or Intergalactic to define this generation for PlayStation? Neither of those will define PlayStation as generation.
No, those won't define it. That's like saying God of War 2 defined the generation of PlayStation. It didn't. It came at the dead ass end of it, and that's where those two games are going to be.
That wasn't even my answer, but that's a great point. I was going to say Wolverine can't be it because it's an IP. That's like saying Spider-Man defined generation. That wouldn't work. And Intergalactic, here's the thing. I would think a generation-defining game has to be at least have some kind of universal appeal. I think Intergalactic is just going to be for the hardcore Naughty Dog people. I think it's going to be another dark, cynical game from that studio, you know?
Well, they did say that this game is, quote-unquote, the most gameplay-orientated game that they have made. Since Crash Bandicoot or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's so good.
There's more game. There's apparently supposedly be focusing more on gameplay this time around. You know, making you watch
movies. Yeah. Jay Shep goes, will Concord define PlayStation generation? No, I already have an answer. I may have told a story on the podcast, but I'll tell it again. You know, I was at the office and somebody brought up, what game, you know, would you say defines this generation? And then somebody, you know, for PlayStation, then somebody, another person joked, The Last of Us 2 remake. I said, no, that's actually a perfect answer because that is what has defined a PlayStation generation, this generation, remakes of old shit, right? Remakes of old shit, you know? And you can't say Elden Ring because that's a last-gen game, you know? The Elden Ring could have legitimately been an answer, you know, but that's a last-gen game. This generation in general, I'm even throwing Xbox in there. It's all cooked, you know. Again, we were talking about like, oh, Death Stranding came out at the height of the PlayStation 4. I think Death Stranding came out at the height of PS5. I think it's just downhill after this. And it's already been downhill, but somehow this fucking system keeps selling, you know. So yeah, I don't think Wolverine or Intergalactic is going to quote unquote define shit, for PlayStation. Maybe it will in a bad way, you know? But yeah, I don't think so. What about the rest of you guys?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think there's something that's already at the end of everything. I don't think they're, like I said before, I think it's just like, it's going to be, you know, what is Wolverine going to be? Wolverine is going to be essentially that it's going to be Spider-Man, but with Wolverine. So is that generation defining? Not really. And then, you know, we don't know what Intergalactic.
Yeah.
That, I mean, to be honest, like they look like they're trying to be a Souls-like, at least from what I'm seeing in this, that 2 seconds of gameplay that they show. So is that generation defining? I mean, you know, God of War did it. They tried to be Soulsy too, but that I wouldn't even say the God of War games were generation. At least the God of War.
Yeah, Jason said personally, I think Wolverine will be a PS best game this generation. I hope it's a good one, at least, you know?
J-Ship also asked, will Concord define this PlayStation?
I asked that.
That is a phenomenal question.
It could, you know, but yeah, I did ask that earlier.
It could be, it defined it with its failure.
Yeah. I still think, The Last of Us Part II Remastered is the defines the PlayStation generation, this, you know, PS5 generation.
It does define at least the PlayStation 5 generation, because it is exactly what epitome of a current PlayStation title.
Yep.
A title that's been remade multiple times. It's just putting it out again on another console.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, I agree with Manny with the Wolverine thing. They make great games and Sony makes great games, but there's a reason why they're come out fast, you know. So Wolverine, I feel like it's gonna be like a Spider-Man game, but with Wolverine skin on it, which is still a great game. Don't get me wrong.
Which Spider-Man was essentially Batman with the Spider-Man skin.
So you know, they're still gonna be good games, but I feel like Insomniac's not gonna go, you know, the bees and knees with this game. Is just they're gonna play it safe. They know what, you know, they know what they're good at. Intergalactic, I don't know.
You're gonna say Interstellar too, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about saying Interstellar.
think Beastie Boys, you know.
Yeah, Intergalactic Planetary. we still don't know what the game really is. We saw we saw like a couple, like a 10-second video, and then everyone's made their opinion on the game, both good and bad. And I'm like, we haven't seen shit. So I have no clue about that game. And I don't even know if it's going to come out during the PS5.
Hey, that's a good question. You know? That's a good question.
It could be one of those like half and half ones, right? Could it be even like half, you know, on PlayStation 5 and then PlayStation 6? One of those things, Zelda.
It could be.
Yeah. Reggie, shout out to Reggie in the chat. He goes, I don't think it's best to look at one game that would define PS5 generation, but rather a collective of games on the platform. It's kind of a cop-out, though, don't you think?
The thing. We can't think of several games. That's why we have to come up with one.
Yeah.
Oh, I can call us.
Uh-oh.
All those counted lifesavers games.
Those, you know what? Those defined this generation.
Yeah.
The garbage lifesavers.
Did define the entire generation. You know.
It defined it so much. They literally didn't make any other games but attempt to make those pieces of garbage.
Jesus Christ! So maybe you're right, J. Shep. Maybe Concord did define this generation for PlayStation.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
We still got Marathon.
Oh yeah, there we go. Oh god.
There's actually another one that hasn't gotten canceled. Another one that not the Jade Raymond game, but there's another one of those games that's up pretty soon too. Don't know I can't remember what it was called, but yeah, it's another one of those as well.
Stuff like this is making me want to become just like a retro gamer that plays on PC. Like, this fucking games are so bullshit, man. All right. Go ahead. Any other things you guys want to say about that one?
I just want to make a comment real quick. Yeah. I believe you guys gave the perfect answer when you said The Last of Us, because it's a game and it's a TV show. This is literally the only thing Naughty Dog has been talking about this entire generation is The Last of Us. So, I know you don't really want to count the TV show, but I gotta count that, man. This is all this they've been talking about this entire generation.
You know? All right, man. Let's move on here.
Real quick, I want to give an honorable mention to Red. I want to throw an honorable mention to Redfall
for Xbox. You know. hopefully, this generation will be the last of it. I think it will be because I don't think we're going to see any more Last of Us games. I think they're going to just stick with the TV show and that's that. But then again, the TV show may be canceled after next season, so we'll see about that. The Abby season, get ready, people. You know you're waiting for it.
Yeah. And they had the nerve to advertise that.
She is the star. The
actress.
Yep.
They're like, get ready, and it's like the downvote.
Adam, are you gonna cover this?
What, the last one? Probably, just to go for it. Because I said it, even when we were covering it, I was saying, Rich and I, we covered the finale, and I said, get ready, people. This is it. This is, and people were already upset. I saw the ratings. You know, there were people that were watching it. Now, HBO did a spin on it. The finale came out during the holiday time. It's like stuff. It's like, yeah, but no, people will find a way to watch. Now that we have phones and stuff like that, you use that excuse of like, oh, well, they're not in front of a TV. You don't need to be in front of a TV anymore. No one cared. No one cared. And we saw that drops Pedro Pascal. Even though he's on the show, still part of flashbacks, he's dead. As we saw that, even with Walking Dead, normies and casuals don't like when their favorite characters in anything. Doesn't matter what it is. They just can't deal with it. And when something like this happens, they just tune out. They're like, all right, forget it. What's going on? Love affair and care. I don't want to hear her side of this. You've already had me invested in this girl and what's going to care. This other jabroni chick's life? No. And we saw that when the game came out. That's one of me gripes, but that was like, yo, I finished this game 3 hours ago. Why am I still playing? And I was like, oh, I know why. Because I have to play as this chick.
Yeah, 8 hours with that fucking bitch.
You know, the thing about it, with you think with the thing about Abby, and I was wondering if they would actually try to address it in the series. We're essentially giving her more of an in season one. You know, as you know, it's instead of just being sort of an out of nowhere sort of character, but they did the same damn thing. They literally had a chance to put her in the other season, like, okay, you know, a setup, you know, for at least for whatever was going to come next. But no, they did the same thing. They're just like, oh yeah, and then there's this girl.
Yeah, I mean, like even like Game of Thrones made you care about all the other characters.
Yeah, even if, you know, they were assholes, you cared about them. You know.
Yeah, so with this one, it was just a 180. Like, I remember when we were playing it, Tony, like, in real time. I was like, what the hell's going on?
Like man.
Like, it's like forcing us to be invested into something that we didn't care about.
The game tried to, and I mean, I don't even know if I should say it, because people probably play the game, but it tries to get you to care about her, because she cares, the kid.
That's but I don't care about the fucking kid, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Even the kid is part of a bad group.
You know?
So it's like, why? What is this? Like, all right, so you that are having their war. What does this do with Ellie and everybody? Like, what? Let them deal with their
horseshit. Fuck that game, man. Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, so, it's just sad that I guess somebody in HBO were like, oh, wow, I think of IPs. Oh, this is a great game. You know, let's go with it. And let's not talk about that one. Let's talk about the first one. And then that went great. And then HBO execs were like, we want more of this. And I didn't make a second. Then do it. And failed to me. Oh, you know what? Whatever. It's all about money. Maybe that person already left and got a new job somewhere. But I don't see this second season.
I think the show's going to be canceled.
But they what saves them is that they don't have to say can't. Because when it's over, they're like,
it's over.
There's only two games.
Yeah.
There's only two games. So we did it. That's it. We just, the second game, which is why we had the third.
That's all we got.
But it's technically, but it is from the last note in the third game and used the show. What was that show that had a game? It was on Sci-Fi.
Oh, my God. Yes. I do remember that. Yes. I forgot the name of it, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The Remedy game?
Unless they tried.
No,
it was a multiplayer title.
We covered it like on SCFU and Play. It was an old fucking show, you know. But I know what you're talking about. It was like an MMO, yes.
Yeah, it like went based off of like the majority of what people. But unless like that to introduce, I doubt though. This is it. It's a one and done. Nothing's gonna come from it, and that's it.
Yeah,
check out.
This is it.
And pray that God of War lives up to.
That's gonna be trash.
Man, on Amazon.
Oh, Gears.
I mean, we seen the Gears. Well, again, it's the story, right? What is the story? Is God of War Dad of War, or is this going to be God of War from the PlayStation game?
They're gonna do Dad of War. They're not gonna do
Dad of War. Okay,
they should. It's the more compelling story. The first games that's the part that I didn't like. It was a story.
And with everything,
the story was a quintessential Greek
defiance. Plot, Adam, right? That was it. That was the game.
Defiance. Yeah. Okay. People. Support.
Yeah, Adam, J-Ship couldn't hear you. Yeah, we're having some issues with your mic tonight, man. It's like keeps going lower. Yeah, like you have to like, you know, get it really close to you or something.
I haven't moved.
I haven't.
Sometimes the noise canceling on the Discord tends to have a short cutoff. That's what it seems to do.
That's a good point. Yeah,
we have to look that into.
Maybe turn. Maybe. maybe flip the noise canceling thing off of it and see what happens.
Yeah. And for you guys listening to the MP3, it's possible a lot of what Adam said did get cut off, because if it isn't a certain decibel, like when I do the silence thing, it just cuts it off. Yeah. I don't know what's been going on. It's like going up and down, up and down, up and down.
And I'm sitting right in front of it. I'm not.
See right there, it just went low. Yeah. You didn't move at all, but your mic went down, you know?
Yeah, maybe turn up the sensitivity of your mic on there too, on the actual the Discord application.
Yeah. All right. While Adam troubleshoots, we'll go to the last question. Michael Santiago asked us what our favorite game is, but we've answered that a bunch of times. My favorite game is coming out in August, Metal Gear Solid 3. There you go. All right, so the last question, also sponsor question. From shout out to Lunar Diaries, another faithful, you know, loyal fan. Wish he was in the chat, you know, but he's sponsoring another J Shep question. The question is, what game, kind of related to the past question, what game would you say defined the Switch 1 generation? I have an answer, and it might get people upset.
Are you gonna say Breath of the Wild?
No, that was my first answer. I'm like, wait, no. This defined it.
Yeah, but the problem with that one is that game ripped off Breath of the Wild.
It's true. Breath of the Wild is the first game ever created. It is so powerful that it like caused ripples throughout the time-space continuum, and it looped back around, you know? But Breath of the Wild, that's a good one. Remember, for a while, the game had like 104% adoption rate, which is higher than the system.
But it also was a previous generation game too. So it was
By the way, that's a clue for the game. I'm
going to say. Nobody had the Wii U.
Tears of the Kingdom.
No. I gave you a clue. I think was also a last gen game that was on the Wii U.
Oh, Mario Kart?
Mario Kart 8. That defined the Switch 1 generation. That was the best selling game on that system by far, you know?
I mean, it had everything they need. It had everything that they were going for. Like, they were constantly updating it, adding new characters, fixing it up. They pretty much made that game into like a service game.
Yeah, and the reason I say define it is because basically because to me, Nintendo's always been just giving fans what they want and not really doing anything innovative. And that's what I kind of see that game as. Although I still do think Breath of the Wild is a good answer too, because that game, you know. That sold the system initially, but Mario Kart 8, that is legit the best selling game on the system. So I think that defined the Switch generation again, which is ironic because it was a fucking Wii U game. What's up, Rich?
I agree with that choice, but I have a question.
Yeah.
What about Super Mario Odyssey? Where does that fall on this list?
I don't think it defined that Switch 1 generation, because to me, and mind you, it's my favorite game on the Switch. After 3 or so months, nobody was talking about it anymore. It was done.
Yeah.
Whereas with Breath of the Wild, people still talk about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And obviously Mario Kart 8, Rich, that was the whole generation, you know?
But by the way, Tony, can you guess how many copies Mario Odyssey sold?
Odyssey?
Yeah.
Like 15, 20 million?
Testing.
Around there. Where are you, Adam? 29.
29, that's pretty good. Wait.
Yeah.
I might be getting my numbers mixed up because I thought, and I could be fucking wrong about this, I thought Mario Kart 8 sold 30 million, so I adjusted that down.
Oh, no. Mario Kart 8 sold way more than 30. Let me check. It was ridiculous.
So just so you know, that's where I based my Mario sales from. I was like, if this game sold 30 million, that must have sold half of it or two thirds of it. So, and you said it sold 30 million. So, did Mario Kart sell like 60, 70 million?
Yep, 68.
There you go. All right. So, I was wrong, but my reasoning wasn't wrong. I was like, Mario Odyssey must have sold at least half or two thirds of whatever Mario Kart 8 sold. So, I was still right about that, you know?
Real quick,
answer, right reasoning. Go ahead, Adam. Talk for
a minute. Does it sound like it's cutting and talking to three? Everybody talking.
Yeah, you did. When you said said 1, 2, 3, it went down.
I don't know what it is then. Right. I switched it to standard. It was on crisp for that noise.
You were doing good right there. You were doing good right there. For like what the last like 10 seconds, it was perfect.
I did not. It's just on standard unless I turn it off. Turning it off.
I feel like this is better than what it was.
It was. So it is better. I'm looking at the, you know, the sound signal, whatever the fuck that shit's called, and it's consistently in like yellow or even red. Before it was just in green, which you don't want that. You know.
All right. So I'm just talking. It's off. I turned off.
Yeah, you're good now.
So I just turned it off. I don't know. It was just by default. Again, I haven't changed.
Yeah. I guess you'll also just try to talk at a consistent rate too. But that it sounded better. You know. Anyway, anybody else have any answer for what game defined the Switch 1 generation?
How did Super Smash Bros. Do?
That's a good question.
I could take a look.
What about Smash Bros. I know what game Rich is going to say. Amiibo. Oh, I'm not Amiibo. Labo.
No.
Remember when people were trying to apologize for that?
I remember that bullshit.
36 million.
Pretty good. That's pretty damn good. You know?
Those Nintendo numbers are no joke.
Nintendo is.
I mean, Animal Crossing. Remember Animal Crossing?
What was Animal Crossing's numbers? I'll say this about Nintendo fans. Those motherfuckers buy games.
47.
Fuck.
Go ahead, Rich.
Go ahead, Rich.
I'm going to have a question after you're done with this question. It's a question for Carlos. Yeah.
Go ahead.
My question for you, Carlos, I mean, you have a Switch 2. We never heard your thoughts on Mario Kart World, so I would like to hear that tonight, if possible.
Yeah.
Listen, this is the show for it. Throw out your questions, you know.
let me start with this.
That is a phenomenal question.
it's good. I mean, if you're into Mario Kart at all, this is a step up from whatever we had. The free roam stuff is pretty fun. The online is ridiculous. I've been playing online almost every day. And I just do like one or two matches a day. I don't really play like super much, like more than three a day. But, they're fun. It's tough, man, because there's a whole bunch of nerds online. So, you know, I've only won like two or three matches. So it's pretty hard to, you know, to beat folks out there. The introduction of the free roam is pretty good. I like the way that the parkour, I don't know what they call it. I call it parkour. It adds a new dimension to the races. It makes it a lot more dynamic than it used to. It looks good. It looks good on the Switch, on the handheld, and it looks good on TV, on my TV. So yeah, I feel like it's a good game. It's going to sell a lot. I'll tell you that much. But I'll also say this. Mario Kart is not my favorite game out of like the first party games. It's not nowhere close. I'm really looking forward to Donkey Kong. That's the game that I want to like sink my teeth in.
Yeah. Now, Rich, I got to say, man, I'm a little upset that you didn't ask me that question, considering I have a Switch 2 right here.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, Tony, yes, please.
Yeah.
Give us more details.
So, I think I said this to the fellas in our like text on phone, right? I had no idea that Mario Kart World had end credits. No idea, right? I was because I've just been nibbling with the Grand Prix here and there, like a race here, one there. Because I kind of find the game boring, to be honest. It's very good at what it does, but at the end of the day, it's still Mario Kart, and I just don't find that gameplay compelling. So I've just been picking away, you know, one little race here, one race here. So I got to the final one. I did Rainbow Road, right? And then I saw ending credits. I'm like, okay, I guess I beat this game. So I went to my little Chicago little notepad, games I beat 2025 or whatever year, and I put that. The game's cool, but it's Mario Kart, so not really that impressive. But I do agree with Carlos. I'm looking forward to Donkey Kong just because it is made by the same, or largely made by the same people who made Odyssey, which was my favorite game. But yeah, the system itself, it pretty much addresses all the technical problems I have with the original. You know, it looks good at 4K, upscales to 4K. If you have a TV with, 120 hertz, like it like makes things look really nice, especially on OLEDs, looks really nice. Even though I don't use them, Joy-Cons are okay, but I use that Pro Controller. You already know. Pro Controller is legit. And yeah, like I said, I like the fact that games don't look like shit, you know, which is a big problem with the original one. Like I remember I popped in Tears of the Kingdom just to test it out. You know, I had the upgraded version. My first thought was like, whoa, this looks good. I've never said that with any of these fucking Zelda games, you know, on the Switch. Like even the Breath of the Wild, I remember when I fired up, I'm like, you know, what am I looking at here? You know, and then obviously Tears of the Kingdom, the fucking trailer for that shit had bad performance. I'm like, bro, this is what you're showing off? Really? But yeah, so I'm looking forward to Donkey Kong. We'll see about Metroid because I never played the original ones, other Metroid Prime games. But I am interested in checking out, and I know this is an older game, but it's been like updated, Super Mario 3D World. Because I liked 3D Land on the 3DS, and I hear 3D World is more the same but better. So I may check. I like the good game. Yeah, so I may buy that. And I think
Bowser's Fury too.
Which one?
Bowser's Fury. It's like a DLC for that one.
Okay, cool.
Normally,
my kids like that one. They finish.
So yeah, I may check that out. Because again, I really like 3D Land. So 3D World might be cool. But yeah, again, I think it's a decent enough update. I respect Nintendo for not going crazy. Like, hey, the Switch one did well for us. Let's just do it again. You know, you don't need to go crazy reinventing the wheel. Because that's always been a problem I had with Nintendo. It's like, they're always trying to do this weird shit, you know? But yeah, you know, Mario Kart, it is what it is. I'm glad I did the Grand Prix so I don't have to play it ever again. The game's just, you know, whatever, you know? Yeah, Carlos, I haven't played online because, again, I just don't care enough to. But I have seen people online. Yeah, they're nerds, you know? Like, they're going ham, you know, doing all fucking, like, grinding and wall slides and all this other shit. I can respect that. That's dedication, that's skill, you know?
Also, yeah. you can get matched up with the senseis, man.
Oh, they teach you?
Well, no, they don't teach you. They destroy you.
Oh, damn. They're not senseis then.
They're not, yeah.
They're bullies.
They're not your boy Kaiju Hunters.
That's crazy. All right. I think, did we get everybody? What game defined the Switch 1 generation? I think we got everybody. All right. And that means we're done. So wrapping it up here. Adam, TV Terminal, what's going on?
Doing Revival and Murderbots. We set up episode 3, Revival for the comic. If you know the comic, then you know the show. Walker zombie coming back, but not really zombies, just the dead rising up and trying to live a normal life and not working out. Then we got Murderbot, which is a red herring because the first thing you think of is this killing everyone. No, he's there. He's a security unit. He does some killing, but he got voices in his head a little out there. It's a good one. So yeah, TV Terminal, you can check it out. We do our recaps, you know, throwing some slides so you can follow along. It's out there. Be coalition. Check it out.
Yeah. All right. Manny, what you got?
Yes. So, you know, the nostalgia tour, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Carter Randolph and myself for a cover series for 7, 8, 9, and 10 of the normal Ninja Turtles series. Obviously, Naruto, TMNT Naruto would cover by us again. We just recently showed off, was for me, or a cover for Power Rangers Prime number 9, which is going to be coming out very soon with a cover by myself, where we should get to see the new Green Ranger suit design, and the VR Troopers are in it. Again, there's also Street Sharks, and then another nostalgic property that I don't think has been announced yet, but there is a cover that I had worked on.
All right. And Rich, what's happening with the Coalition this week?
Oh, yeah. So a lot of stuff happening at the Coalition this week. First and foremost, our very own Mr. Adam Vale. He did a preview for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3+4. That will be on the website tomorrow morning, so you can check that out. I'm also still covering up the last couple of games from Summer Game Fest that I'm still doing previews for. So you will see a lot of that stuff going up throughout the week. And aside from that, yeah, there'll be a couple of reviews coming in the future. There's a couple of games that we're going to be getting access to here soon. And obviously, stuff coming out next month. So stay tuned for all of that. But yeah, a lot of things being worked on behind the scenes. So stay tuned.
Good stuff. All right, guys, we're out of here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Follow us on YouTube. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show was Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vail.
Good week, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everyone.
And Brian Manjoma.
So in your infinite wisdom and creativity, you created a floating wheelchair.
I saw that. Oh man. God. What was that? Dungeons and Dragons? Or like what game was that? World of Warcraft. Jesus.
I seen the wheels and thought that it was levitating. I'm like, this makes no sense. Have one or the other.
Stupid. I saw somebody like a Reddit comment. It's like, yo, just pop four potions. You could cure that shit.
Bro, remember when Blizzard made like the best CGI animation in the game? Now they just do fucking in-game cutscenes and shit of people in floating wheelchairs. I don't know what the fuck happened.
You know what happened, but we're not going to say that on air. You know.
Doug.
Yeah, you know exactly what happened. All right, guys. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday, the day before 4th of July, man. Later.
Peace.
Laters.